Hey, everybody, and welcome to BSC Gospel Radio Network with Stephanie McDonald and friends. Y'all, they will be on a little later on, but until then, y'all have Miss Coco Bowden of UGA Gospel Storm and also Kiva Investment Empowerment Class for Women. I am your host up until they get on the line. But tonight, y'all, we got a real great show for you, wherever you're listening from. Whether you're listening, you know, near or far, all around the world, you know, we thank you so much for tuning in to VSC Gospel Network Gospel Talk. So before I get started and start the talking, because y'all know Miss Coco is the one that really, really talks a lot. Before I get started, let me go ahead and pray us in. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you right now for all that you've done for us throughout the day, throughout this week, and the things that you are going to do in our lives, oh God. Lord, we ask right now that you decrease our flesh, oh God, and increase yourself in us. Increase your Holy Spirit inside of us. Send down your Holy Spirit to help us to speak the words that we need to speak today, tonight, in hopes that someone's life will be changed by the hearing of the word and by some of the things that we have to share with them on today. Lord, we speak healing in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak healing to our spiritual and natural sight in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you open our ears, God, that we may hear and stay in tune to this season of what you are saying in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that if there be any sick that are listening, that you will send down your anointing, your precious anointing oil, and pour it out. Pour out your spirit over them, oh God, so that they can be healed, set free, and delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you make us pure from the inside, God, so that it will show on our outside. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. All right, y'all. So as I said, I'm here, Miss Coco Bowden, and we're waiting on a few others to come in. But while we're waiting on them to come in, I'm going to go ahead and just be talking a little bit about what we're going to be talking about tonight. So the big thing is tonight is, should it be a dress code for church? Ooh, I know that right there is got some of you thinking like, who would come up with such a thing like that? Should it be a dress code for church? Well, you know that there are several dress codes all over the world in some of our traditional churches and some of our churches that aren't traditional. So we are going to be discussing that tonight. And we're also going to be discussing, success in Jesus Christ. What is success in Jesus Christ? And, you know, we all got our goals and stuff set. We know what we want to do. Some of us do and some of us don't. And sometimes we forget that our true success comes from Jesus. It comes from the Lord. It comes from the things that we do in his honor. And the things that we follow and do like him. All right, so let me get started on should it be a dress code for church. When it comes down to the church, one of the things that I think that we oftentimes miss is that people will be people. You're only going to get out of it with what you put in it. You know, if you're not studying the Word of God and you're not praying and talking to God for the Holy Spirit to dwell up in you, then it's going to be hard to tell somebody, no, you cannot wear a certain attire. And I agree that some of the stuff that people are wearing to church is just crazy. It's just crazy, some of the things, like when women are coming with their boobs hanging out or, you know, thigh splits going all the way up where, you know, basically anybody can see what you got up under there. And some of the men are coming with so many tight pants and stuff. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying this is what's real. We have skinny jeans that are so tight that you can see the seams kind of the seams kind of pulling apart, right? So
yeah, yes.
Did someone come on the line?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, Coco. Hi, this is Co-Pastor Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Co-Pastor Wendy. I'm doing great. Well, I would let her go ahead and take it from here. I've already prayed us in here.
Oh my goodness! And I tell you what, you got the topic started. I tell you, this is one of the things. This is, I guess you can say, kind of like a hot topic. And the reason why I thought about this, or gave thought to this topic, is because we're living in a generation, just like you say, where there are dress codes everywhere. On our workplace, there's a dress code that, they want us to look a certain way, want us to be professional. When we go to school, middle school, elementary school, high school, there are certain dress codes and stuff put into place. And so I was wondering, how do you feel about that? And you kind of touched bases on it a little bit already. How do you feel about that? Do you think that there should be some type of dress code in the church of today?
For me, I do not think so. But like you said, we got to think there's a lot of cultures out here.
Right.
There's a lot of backgrounds and environments that people are brought up in. And for me, because whenever you say professional, you could mean a professional stripper, and a stripper walks straight up in the church just as she is, So we we have to be careful how we say things when it comes down to dressing. But the main thing I would like to point out is that we have to make sure that we rid ourselves of these strange gods and things, like sometimes we could overdress and sometimes we underdress, and it's because it's the things that we obsess about, I want to have the best looking skirt on and stuff. I want to look the hottest in church. Us women, we'll say that right quick. I want to look good in church, but at the same time, is it appropriate? Is it holy? I don't think there should be a dress code, for the simple fact is that if you don't know better, you're not going to do better. If the Holy Spirit isn't living within you, then it's going to be hard to do better. So for some people, it takes time to get to that place where they can dress appropriate.
You know what? And I agree with that. And I meant to say before we got started that we want to put a disclaimer out that, like you said earlier, Coco, we are not here to judge anyone. This is basically a talk show, and we want to bring up, like I said, this is a hot topic. It's over, question was presented in on social media. And some people feel, they feel like if you start saying anything to them, then they feel like you're judging. So we want to put that out there. We're not judging. And we're just basically stressing the way that we think. And somebody may think totally different. But I do want to share something with you. And if you don't mind, I want to kind of be a little transparent. I just think about the way, the way I was brought up in church. And I'll say personally, Lord knows, Jesus, we had to, wear certain things. I'm just going to be honest. We couldn't wear pants, Things have changed now totally, but I remember growing up in church, we could not wear pants. We couldn't wear jewelry. We couldn't wear makeup. Oh, my gosh. It was very rigid and kind of stressful, as far as, because I got saved when I was 16, I became saved, and at that time, and I'm kind of putting in a little plug here, at that time, I just wanted to just do right, and I tried, to do exactly whatever the mother said, and I got really confused, and so I wrote this song, and it's entitled, Lord, Make Me Over Again, and that was one of the things that I wrote in there, is I was like, God, you're the potter, I am the clay, I want you to put me back on that potter's wheel, and make me, and create me to what you want me, because as a child, I was getting confused. Now, we don't have that type of at least I don't see it. It may be still prevalent somewhere, different, like you say, cultures, different areas of the world. We don't know because this is syndicated all over, so we don't know who is listening. But I do know for a fact that the church that I went to and I grew up, we got away from that. We wore jeans and wore jewelry and makeup and all that. Now, as I learned older, not seeing anything was wrong with that, but that's just the type of traditions that I grew up under. And to me, it was hard. It was really hard. But then on the flip side, what my concern is of today is that I know, and we see this all the time, and we hear this all the time. Come as you are, you know, and as you come to, you know, to church or whatever, don't beat somebody up, you know, that the Lord, once you become saved, you do get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that every person is given that gift, and that gift is awakened in your spirit, because you have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. And so I believe that the Lord awakens that. And in due season, in due time, I believe, like you said, if a person that's a stripper or whatever, someone that has never been to church, they may not know how to come. You know, they're not used to the traditions or the norm, you know, of modern day whatever. But at the same time, I do believe that God will innate us in our mind, in our spirit, to how he would want us to dress and look. And I don't think we should beat someone up, like you said, should judge them. But at the same time, I always think when I go to the church, if Jesus was to walk in, would he be pleased with what I have on? I know that might be deep, but that's just the way I feel. I feel like, you know, that when I go to the church, that I'm giving honor and I'm giving reverence to the Father. I don't care about these folks, you know, because people, they're going to talk anyway, whether you got on some long dress or some short dress, you know what I'm saying?
You're right.
You know, people just, they're going to talk, Coco, they're going to talk. They're going to talk about, the Lord knows they talked about Jesus. So what I decided is I just always say, dress to where you feel comfortable, you feel like you're not disrespecting the Lord. That's how I feel. And I feel that you know, grandmas, they always used to share with us, you look in that mirror and you've got that second, how does that second look like, that second guess, maybe this is not right, then maybe it's not. And she's always say, go back in that closet, or my mom would say, go back in that closet, pick out something else, because, you know, she would always say, we had that long, you know, old-timey mirror that'd be behind the door. You remember that mirror?
Oh, yeah.
Think of mirrors like that, when we would pull that mirror back, and then mom would say, even we was going to school or going anywhere, she would, you know, open up that door and say, hey, if you second guess that first intuition that, you know, that's in that first thought that come to your mind, I look good, then it's okay. Or if you say, I don't know, go back in that room, and she'll say, go back in that room and change, you know. But I just think it's so important that we, I would say people that's been in Christ, been in the Lord, been a believer for a long time, let's guide, but don't be nobody's Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying? Just like you said earlier, teach. You know, teach. Because if no one has ever been taught what to do, what not to do, or how to address accordingly, they won't know. So you can't beat someone up and say, well, that skirt is too short, or that's too tight, or this and the third, you know, if they've never been, you know. I just feel that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And two, we have to think, even some of the people that have been in church a long time, not all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. Not all of them really study in Scripture. They just show up to be there. And some of them are the main ones that do most of the judging as well, you know. And for me, it's like when I dress to go to church, it's a reflection of who I am on the inside and how I feel on the inside. Like when I wear my real bright colors, I'm feeling real good.
So
it's a reflection of who I am. But most of all, it is to honor God. And I think we need to get back to that instead of judging where people are at, that we start honoring God in front of them and not just having them come to church and you know, try to make a mockery of them or wait till we get on social media. And, you know, 2019 social media is really bad at pointing people's flaws out. And just because they're flawed doesn't mean that God isn't working on them, that he isn't working on the inside of them. So while I was waiting on you, I said, I'm going to make a list here. And I made a little small list. And this first one says, why certain people do not wear proper etiquette. And one is because they lack knowledge and they don't understand that the reason we come to church is to honor and worship God. That's why we come to church and to fellowship and show love to one another. Number two is some people don't have no shame at all. It's their normal. That's how they're going to do, and they're just rebellious. And, you know, there's all kind of spirits up in the church. That's just who they are. And number three is lustful spirits. People don't like to talk about that, but some women do show up in the church, you know, dressed for appetite. Dressed to, you know, satisfy some man's appetite. And the fourth thing is lack of funds. Not everybody has the funds to dress appropriately. And that is a genuine, you know, reason, because I know people right now who really don't have the funds like that, and they live without electricity and water and stuff, and they show up to church. It may be a hole in their shirt right around the breast area. It may be a hole in their pants, you know, right around the pooty area. Can I say cookie? Right. But you know what I'm saying, though. But we're
yes, I do. Yes, we do. I mean, exactly what you're saying.
But, you know, they may not be able to do any better than that because they lack funds. Right. And even though that you can go to some of these churches and get clothes, sometimes that you might as well just pick some clothes up off the ground, because some of them clothes are dressed up too. And then I had the other list, why do people dress appropriately for church? And it's because they know it's to honor and worship God. Number two is the Holy Spirit is working from the inside out. The third thing is it identifies who we belong to and our character and what's in our heart. When we look at it, everything goes back to the heart, the type of attitude that we have in our heart. And if we have a heart to hear God, then we will do better than what we're doing. Nobody will have to tell you. You'll be moved by the Spirit.
That's right, exactly. And I agree with that 100%. I believe that. And you said something so, oh, my God, so phenomenal earlier. The way that we dress is an expression of how we feel on the inside. I'm telling you that is so true, because if you ever notice a person that's depressed or have low self-esteem, their clothes not going to look up to par. You know what I'm saying? It's believe it or not, it's a spiritual thing, and I'm telling you, the way you dress, it really exemplifies who you are, and I am a firm believer of that. And we have got to get back to the point, like you said, to the basics, to where we got to listen to someone, you know, and stop thinking that everybody is just after you or judging you or whatever. And like you said, the Holy Spirit is going to lead and guide each and every one of us. And what might be, you know, offensive to someone, it won't be, you know, offensive to the next person. I'm not saying that we all have to walk around and look the same or be the same or whatever. But I just really and truly believe at the end of the day, we will exemplify God through the things that we put on and we wear when we go to church. I just honestly believe that. I you know, and I'm kind of old-fashioned. I wish sometimes we will get back to the days to where we wore our full-fledged, you know, suits and hats and all that stuff like that. Because believe it or not now, and I know I'm kind of getting off subject a little bit, but in the secular world, do you not know that the what's considered professional is when you put on a suit or whatever. If you're going for an interview, what they say, dress your best, you know, look your Sunday best or whatever. Whenever you're trying to go out to better yourself, they say it's something about, I used to work in this company, and it was a telemarketing place. And we didn't visit people, you know, but we actually talked to people on the phone. But we literally had to wear, you know, dress up and be dressed up every day as if we were standing in front of someone and we was talking to them and we were selling ourselves. And they said, you do this because the way you dress is your attitude. It comes out. Even if you don't feel like it, you put on a suit or put on a nice dress or whatever, nice outfit, nice pantsuit outfit, you'd be like, okay. You might be feeling bad. You're like, oh, this look good. It might cheer you up, make you feel good.
That's it. That's it. And, you know, in my class, I teach the women with different cultures and stuff. You know, I don't put no limitations on God, so I put everything out there. And my degree is in business. And one of the things I teach women in that class is that you have to learn what is appropriate for the occasion. And sometimes, you know, like I said, if a person doesn't know, this is why you're dressing nicely, is to honor God, feel good about God. You love what he's done for you. And so when you know that God has brought you out of something, you're going to honor him by doing the right thing. And sometimes because of the environment that we're from, it's hard for people who come from dysfunctional families to understand them. And they're some of the first people. If you tell them that, you know, you might need to dress a little different way, or, you know, you could be nice to them and stuff, and they will throw down with you. They will throw your name out there, scandalize you and everything. But everything has to be done out of love. I promise you, if you tell them out of love, eventually they will come back and say you was right, or the next time you see them, they'll be dressed right.
That's right.
They really will.
That's exactly right. They might get a little upset, but at the end of the day, if you do things in love and don't condemn someone, it'll definitely work out. Definitely right about that. Absolutely.
I agree. I agree 100%. I wanted to read this, too. I saw this in an article I was reading, and it said, it is good for us to ponder why we wear what we do. And it says in Genesis 35:1-3, may shed some light on the subject. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to honor me. That's where I appeared to you when you were running away from your brother Esau. So Jacob spoke to his family and to everyone who was with him. He said, get rid of the strange gods you have with you. Make yourselves pure and change your clothes. Come, let's go up to Bethel. There I'll build an altar to honor God. He answered me when I was in trouble. He's been with me everywhere I've gone. And so, you see, it said, make yourselves pure. You have to, you know, study that word so that you know what pure is. If you're not studying the word of God, you know, it's hard to have faith. And if you don't have faith, you're not going to change.
That's right.
You're not going to change because you're not going to want to hear anything.
That's right. That is exactly right. Yes, Lord. This is good. This is good. And, you know, our next topic, I do believe, is success. Success in the church. Success in Jesus Christ. I don't know. I just believe it all worked hand in hand, you know. I just believe that.
It really does. It ties all in there together. When you have, when you dress with a pure heart and pure intention. And that's another thing, too, though. Everybody don't come into church with pure intention. And that's why they'll come any kind of way, because you got to understand, when we have these spirits out there, sometimes people come in the church to get that distraction, to distract the pastor, or to distract the person that's supposed to be getting saved. You know, you got those spirits that will come in and intimidate and torment people that's up in there, and they won't do right because they're afraid of change, afraid to lose people along the way, afraid to let go and let God, you know.
That's right.
And when it comes down to success, it's the same thing. We have to follow the steps of Christ. We have to follow his steps, and we have to do as the Lord has commanded us to do. We have to operate with that fruit of the Spirit, because without it, we're just gaining world. We're just gaining worldly things and losing our soul.
And you know, that is so true, because that's another thing, like I said, going all the way back to what you were saying about the attitude with your clothing and stuff. There should be a difference. I just do not believe that we should not look the part of the world. There is a difference. The Bible says that we are pilgrims just passing through. This is not our home, you know, and we press towards the mark. of a higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. That means it lets us know that this is not our home, so we don't supposed to look like that. Now, should we walk around and be totally just obsolete, you know? No, absolutely not. But there should be a difference in some way to where people will know through your, definitely your mannerism. And like I said, once you become saved, if you were in the world or whatever and you dressed a certain way, it's not going to happen overnight. We would, I mean, a person be, you know, they shouldn't expect that. A pastor or a leader or someone in a church should not expect that. And a real, true born believer, they wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't expect that as someone. But as time goes, you know, let's say 5-10 years from now, you should be looking the same as you did when you first got saved. I just honestly don't, I just don't think so. I think that there should be growth. You should be getting, when, especially when you are spirit-led and you're getting the spiritual food, which is the Bible, and it's being deposited into you. There's going to be a change, you know. Your light is going to shine, and that light that shines should be totally different than the world system and the things that the world has, because it's not the same, and there should be a difference. And like I said, we're not on here. We lay this disclaimer out. We're not here to judge anyone or make anyone feel bad, but you should not look the same as you did 10, 15 years ago when if you got saved. There should be a difference. There should be, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you should be growing. If not, I'm going to tell you what's going on. You're grieving the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. You that's really it. Are. You are grieving
you know,
the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. And, you know, this is the one thing that, you know, people really need to know is that when you come to Christ, and you submit yourself to God and, you know, mm-hmm. you ask him to create in you that clean heart and that pure heart, do you know that God is transforming you? So if you're still coming the same way you was 5 years ago, then something mm-hmm. has stopped your growth. There's something in the way of your growth in the spirit. And you're not transforming because you should be transformed. No, you're not going to do it all at once. But mm-hmm. 5 years, if you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're walking in that fruit of the Spirit and you're following Christ, then you're going to have transformation somewhere in your life. And it ought to be noticeable so that people know that it was God that changed you.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, because that's what the Bible said, be not conformed to this world, you know. We just cannot conform no matter what comes, what goes. Because, like I said, we're not just being super-duper spiritual or anything, you know, like that mm-hmm. or whatever. But it should be your attitude and your life, your whole mannerism should be expressed through your things that you work. And that's in any place, not just only in church, but also on the workplace, anywhere, you know, there should be a difference. There really should be a difference.
And that's not even only with the newbies. That's with some of them that are seasoned as well. If they're seasoned, then there should be some fruit producing. And it don't matter how old a person get, God can still use them. Even at 90, 95 years old, they should be still producing fruit. Simply because they're working in the field for God. They're still on that vine, you know. They're still in that ground, that good soil. So there should be some fruit coming out from, even if it ain't but a little bit at a time, there should be some type of good fruits coming out as you continue to mature in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. And those fruits ain't always money and stuff. Sometimes it could be just your attitude change. You used to be a person that would get angry. Now you're a person who waits to speak and you know, get it out what you need to get out without getting angry. It could be a person who used to walk around with hate in their heart, but now they have joy. That's going to show. You ain't even got to tell nobody because we're going to be able to see that difference. You're going to be able to see it on us. For instance, a person who could never control themselves, they were the type that's always real blunt, loud, and and, you know, just wear what they want to wear, you know, you're going to be able to see that self-control working in there. You're going to start to see them gradually changing over, gradually. Mm-hmm. It's a process. We are all a work in progress. And one thing that I love that you said, Pastor Wendy, was about what was it you said? Pressing toward the prize, pressing toward that mark. You know, when you stop pressing, that means that you've given up. That means you have given the enemy an opportunity to take everything that God has for you. And we have to continue to press. We're never going to be finished being a work in progress. We're always going to be that work in progress. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't want the Lord to stop working on me.
No, sir. No, Lord. You know, I don't want to ever get to that point where I feel like I have arrived. I think it's time then, you know, some flesh is, like old folks say, some flesh don't got no way then, you know. You can't put no confidence in the flesh. You just cannot do it. I don't, like you said, no matter how long you've been saved, as long as you're on this earth, there's a teachable moment, something you need to learn, something you need to go from faith to glory to glory. There's levels that we have not reached. We really have not arrived, you know.
Amen.
And we have to take inventory, you know, throughout the year. We have to take that inventory, you know, from year to year. Okay, God, take that reflection, look in that mirror and say, you know, if I'm still the same way, still, like you say, still getting upset and getting mad and fussing and Lord, let alone cussing and stuff, you know, then something's got to change, you know. God, I need you to work on me. Like you said, I need you to continue to work on me, humble me, whatever you need to do, because at the end of the day, we all want to see Jesus, and I don't want to be. I was sharing, my mother just celebrated her 46 years of singing anniversary, and I was sharing with the audience on Sunday. She had her anniversary, and I was sharing with them about how, could you imagine singing and ministering for that long? And you know, there's people that do it because the Bible said this is going to be a special place in there. There's some going to go die, but, you know, and be in hell. But it would be sad to be upon the earth and be used, and people get, you know, blessed and healed, delivered, and set free by your ministry and the things that you do, and then you die and bust hell wide open. That'll be a sad day. But it comes from some people, you know, that comes when you don't, like you say, you feel like you have arrived. You don't allow God to order your steps and to be your foot, to, you know, be your guide and lead you on a day-by-day basis. That really is so important. It is so important.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is you have to be able to discern what is worldly success and what is godly success. I remember when I first started out doing radio, not gospel radio. I was in hip-hop first, and then I came to gospel. I thought I could just come in gospel any kind of way, to be honest, when I first started out doing gospel. And I wasn't saved. At that time, I was in it for, you know, making money and stuff, because I didn't know any better, for one thing. But I noticed that when I was trying to get the success of the world, it was so difficult. I was spending 24/7, you know, just trying to build fans here, build fans there, build my reputation up. I was focused on so many worldly things, and yet my physical body was suffering. My spiritual mentality was suffering because it was lacking, and it became too hard to do. But when I really got saved 2 years later, you know what? Because of my faith in God, I stopped working 24/7. I went to working 3 days a week, and I got more success, more godly success, than I ever got worldly success. So when we have to discern what is best. What would God do? What would God have us do in a season to have our success? Am I doing it appropriately? Am I in the wrong? You know, because a lot of people, you see these pastors and stuff having heart attacks and strokes and falling out because sometimes they're operating off in God's timing. What they're calling success is worldly success. Even when it comes down to the singing, and you see the singers constantly going, they about to fall out and die, but they still going and stuff. You know, it. You know, you have to ask yourself, would God have them out there like this? I mean, sometimes having faith is taking rest in God. When we take rest in God, and that's part of our fruits right there, is learning how to rest in the Lord, learning His wisdom, not our wisdom, because we can mess up, we can jack up some wisdom.
but we sure can.
When we follow and obey God, that's where our teaching will come from. And when we get out here and we do what we do out of love, it reaps such a bigger harvest than, you know, just getting out here and trying to have the success of the world. $1 million, but yet you can't even spend it because you laid up, you know, halfway dead.
Oh, my.
And then when you think about Robin Williams, he was, the comedian. He had all the success of the world, all those hit movies, you know, and to him, because he was so beat up on the inside, it didn't matter. That success didn't matter to him. It still didn't make him feel better. He still was depressed. And he took his life because he was beat up from the inside out. Nobody could see that inside was tore up. All we saw was that he was getting these Grammys and his name was here, his name was there. He was steady doing movies. That's all we saw. But we didn't see the inner man until it was too late.
And he was a comedian, knew how to make people laugh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Make you about hurt your side, because he was so funny. But, like you said, he was so, he was depressed. He was, you know, on the inside, just wasn't right. But that's, you know, and that is a really good example of how, even though the wealth of this world, it might seem like success, but it's not. It's really not success. It's really not in Jesus Christ. That's not success, you know. And Lord knows, hear me well, because I'm definitely do not kick against the wealth of the wicked being laid up for the righteous. I don't kick against that. But I just think as the body of Christ, somewhere down the line, we got so far out on this, you know, naming it, claiming it, plant the seed, you know, wait for it to get up, you know, to get up out the ground, and that's good. But the Lord's been really dealing with me about,
and that's not
getting
even
back
biblical.
To the basics. No, it's not.
It's not even biblical. It ain't even telling you to put your hand to the plow. So that means you don't even need faith.
That's right. And believe it or not, I mean, there's some people that you know, they just believe. They pay their tithes and offering. I pay my tithes and offering, and they believe God is going to do this thing just because of that. And He's going to honor His word. That's true. But there's a side of us that we all need to grow, not just financially. We need to, like you say, in wisdom. We need to get back to the basics, learning more of God, learning and getting more of His Spirit in us, the fundamentals of Christ has got to grow. I mean, we're really in need of it now. I just honestly believe that, and I know there's a time whenever we are in the last days. Let's just be honest. We are in the last days. But I tell you what, could it be that some of this stuff is going on is because we're not praying and we're not doing all that we should do, you know, as the body of Christ.
I do think that the reason we have so much going on now is because it is different generations coming in. It is the parents who won't speak up, who now have became conformed to the world. Hey, I'm going to let my child sit in here and smoke weed and drink with me. But then when he grows up as an adult, you know, it's those parents that sit there and say, well, I'd rather he do it at home than, you know, to go off and do it. At least I know what they're doing. You know, those children grow up to have narcissistic behavior. And then when you start talking about the grandiosity of that, where they feel like they're entitled to everything, they're not going to work for nothing. They're going to get out here and they're going to make mess, and they're going to bruise people mentally along the way. And they're going to turn people, or try to turn people, against God and teach them what they think is right. And so, we have to be careful. These little small generations coming up, these little generations don't want to hear nothing about God. They want to hear about the success part, but they don't want to hear you say God did it.
Yeah, that's so true. And it's just like the Bible says, the love of money just have waxed the heart so cold. I mean, oh, Lord, the things that people would do just for money, for the love of it, you know. And that's my thing. We just got to be so careful that we don't get caught up in it. Because we know, the Bible does say the money is the answer to everything. We know that. But then it also says that the love of money is not right. It's just not right. You can't have that. You can't have it. That's the root of all evil. And we got to be so careful because, like I said earlier, success in Jesus Christ, that financial, that's the benefit. You know, that's one of the things. If you do right, you know, if you be willing and obedient, like the book of Isaiah say 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land. But you first got to be willing and obedient. And that's not being, you know, like I said, plant seeds and doing that. No, that's being willing and obedient to do the work and the will of God. Yes. That's what that involves, you know, and that's what we got to get to. That's where true success really is.
It kind of reminds me of the Shunammite woman. You know, she was a pretty wealthy woman herself. And even though she was wealthy, she had faith that just kept her going. She had faith. Even when she had, you know, when her son lay down and died, she still had faith to go see the prophet Elijah, you know, talk to him, and she didn't run her mouth a whole lot. We got a lot of people in the church now that's constantly running their mouth about nothing. They're building all this air, and they're taking people with them. If you want true foundation and success, go back to the Word of God. It'll put you on the straight path. Stop listening at these people who are just building and blowing your head up, but you're not going anywhere. If whatever you're doing, at the end of the day, if it makes you bitter and cold-hearted, that's not godly success. That's not success in Christ.
It's not. And if you're not happy, and if you're not happy, and you can't enjoy it, No.
If you got to put your brother or your sister down in order to be successful, that's not success in Christ at all. If you got to gossip about them, that's not success in Christ at all.
No way. No way. No way. That is not it. I'm telling you, that is not it. That is really not it. I mean, this is good. I mean, I'm enjoying this. Yes,
amen.
Yes, indeed. I don't know. Did we hear Stephanie come on?
I think we did.
It was Shanice.
Hey,
it's Shanice, ladies. Oh, good. Oh,
they all on.
I thought I kept hearing somebody ding, ding.
I did too.
Hello, Shanice. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, ladies.
Hey. How are you?
Okay. Y'all doing such a good job, I'm telling you.
This is good. I've been on here listening.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got some of that with you guys at the end of it, but it was good. It's good stuff, and it is what's going on.
Exactly.
Reverent to what's going on today. You know, we are so prone to, you know, think if we have enough money and, you know, we can be the boss, you know, but being the boss is not, you know, just having all the money, you know. You know, it's a lot of flexing and, like you say, a lot of talk. But, talk is just talk, you know. But the thing is, what was the first thing? It was the word, right? That was what God said. The word was first. So,
come on here, girl. Preach.
Whatever time we go. Whatever goes on in our lives or whatever is going on, we always have to refer back to the word, because we know with that we'll get back on track, or if we get off track, or, you know, because sometimes we do now. Sometimes we can get a little, like, beside ourselves. You know, when we see that we're climbing up the ladder, you know, and we forget how mm-hmm. we got there. You know, that's why they say all the time, you know, don't forget where you come from, you know.
Yes,
and
right.
we do have to have people around to, you know, pull our coattail and tell us about ourselves and, you know, bring mm-hmm. us back down to earth. But
that's right.
When I thought about what you guys are talking, it's like I'm trying to, you know, formulate something where I can, like, not go all around the circles here. But it's just like it's so, because it's all different kind of layers, you know, on this conversation.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, we do have to be truthful with ourselves, know where we're going, and know where we come from. And, you know, like, we know that if we do everything, you know, if we do everything in Christ, we're going to be successful, you know.
That's
but
right.
we have to keep that in our heads that, hey, we're nothing without him. So we have
That's
to
right.
continuously, you know, let us, you know, stay humble. That's the thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds blow up,
and
you know, for what?
Mm-hmm.
If we stay humble and true and, you know, and stay in worship, and God will keep us right where we need to be. You know, we don't need a lot of money. You know, sometimes we do want it because we want to do more or help people, and you know. But I think he knows who to give it to. And I think that's why, you know, because if you give this one, you know, this much, you know, you'll go crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what we were just saying. You know, money is the root to all evil. So
uh-huh.
some people don't need mm-hmm. a lot of money. That's why he don't give
mm-hmm.
you that. You know, he gives you just enough so you can survive and you can do what
right.
you need to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we all blessed, and I'm just grateful.
Mm-hmm.
Some people spend a lifetime, you know, trying to get rich. You know, that slogan they got, trying to get rich, what did it say, die or try to get rich? What is it, 50 Cent said?
Die hard trying?
Yeah,
die hard trying, something like that. Yeah,
get rich or die hard trying.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
That's what it is.
Get rich or die trying. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
And we don't.
That's
need
exactly
all
right.
That.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need all that.
No,
dying for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Not even dying to live again, but just dying to have a little money.
Mm-hmm.
My God,
that's
help
all.
Us
yeah.
all.
Okay. It's real, but we do have to stay humble ourselves, and that's why it's good to stay around people to keep you in perfect, you know, keep you together, you know, because maybe, you know, I'm not knocking it now, you know, you may, you know, get $1 million or something, but at least you'll be around the right people to help you say, hey, you know, we need to do this, and that, you know, and not go, you know, go all ballistics and, you know, get all big head about it, you know, and, you know, do crazy things because that's what happens. And you see it all the time, especially in the industry, where people get a lot of money, they can't handle it, you know, just like what?
I'm not
trying to say anything bad
God.
About a person, but, you know, you
yeah.
got all these great musicians, even with mm-hmm. Charles. So many of them. I just, you know, you don't want to say names, but you know what I'm talking about. You guys know
yeah.
what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but when
very
you get
famous.
To that higher level, you know, you think you begin to think you are God, and you're not.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
We have to be careful about that, and we have to have people we have to know within ourselves, you know, and just be true to ourselves and say, hey, you know what? Hey, God give us enough to supply all our needs. And
that's right.
You know, if we and
it's
and
so,
you know,
good. Yes.
You know that you said that some people think they are God. It reminded me that we have great spiritual success as well, and that sometimes people will try to intimidate us when we may not be able to speak a certain way like they do, or that we may not know pieces of the Bible like they do, and people will come at you, and they're clear up and down that they're the only ones hearing from God, and that if you don't come through and by them, it's not going to get done. Well, Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundantly. He didn't say we had to go through those people. He said we had to go through him.
Right.
And so we need to put our focus back on him. And when people start coming at us, because they're going to come. They're going to try to tell you what you ought to be doing and what you need to be doing. But God may not have told you to do that. And I see so many artists that really get, you know, they really get knocked aside because of the simple fact is they stop following God and they start following the pattern of the world, and it gets them nowhere. And they keep going in this constant circle that, you know, it's still in rotation. You know, it just goes round and round and round. 1 minute you're feeling up, next minute you're feeling down. Well, you know, faith is stable. It's not wavering.
That's good. That's good. Absolutely.
Yeah, when you have that faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, you know, nobody cannot make you deviate from that. You know what I'm saying? A waiver from that. It's just that we just have to remember, you know, and keep that. It's down on the inside. And whatever come up against you, I mean, whatever it is, or, you know, somebody try to come to you with some crazy stuff, and all you have to just say, God will supply all my needs. And I don't have to be, you know, jealous of the next, whatever. There's no secret what God can do, because what he's done for you, he'll do it for me. And the comparison, you know, that comparison stuff, that's what we can get caught up at, too. You know, looking at somebody else's stuff. And just look at what God has given you. What is you doing? What he has given to you? And you follow you. You don't have to look at what this person is doing, what that person is doing, because you don't know the oil that they, you don't know what they got, what they
have
to do.
Come
on
now.
You know what I'm saying? So you need to just concentrate on what you're doing, what God has told you to do, and guiding you, you know, to what he wants you to do. And if you don't know what he wants you to do, just simply ask him, and he will show you. But that's the thing. That's a good thing is about that comparison. We do that a lot. I see that, you know, and we ought not to do that.
Amen.
He give us all blessings. He give us all new mercies every day. If we can't get it right the first day, we can get it right the next day. He gives us all that. Nobody is better than the next, you know. Everybody gets it. Everybody. Especially if you ask him, he'll show you the way. He'll give you even more and more. And that's really the key to success. We say it all the time. You know, put him first in everything, and he will give us more abundantly.
Amen.
Put him first in everything.
Amen.
Yeah, because he's a God that supplies spiritual gifts and also physical gifts. You know, we don't have to be jealous of one another, and we don't have to put nobody down because they haven't been to a certain place or they're not at a certain level of success. Because in God's eyes, when we do what he wants us to do and we are obedient, then we are successful. And we have to learn how to be at peace. Well, you know, just having what God wants for us right now. He knows what we can handle, just like Shanice was saying. He knows what we can handle. Everybody can't handle getting out there big time. They can't handle it.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right. Yes, indeed.
You know, and we were talking about Robin Williams earlier. Just imagine if somebody would have told him, you know, you might not need to do this movie today, and you might need to just go get some help, or you might need to sit here and talk with me. But, you know, when you have those managers in behind you pushing you, and you think you're supposed to listen to the manager, which you are supposed to listen to the manager, but you also should consult God first. Because if he would have had spiritual leaders around him, or either somebody who would have took time to look at that brother and say, oh, my God, I see the darkness on him. He's trying to smile and laugh it off, but I see that. Because God will allow you to see your neighbor. That's why he tells us, love your neighbor. He'll allow us to see what that person is going through and lend a word or two in order to lift them up so that they can, you know, feel good on the inside and not just be successful on the outside, but be spiritually successful on the inside.
Absolutely. Amen. Huh. Yes, indeed.
Amen. All right.
It's some good stuff, ladies. I'll tell you, this is some good stuff. I'm enjoying it.
Amen. Amen.
And, you know, one thing I want to share, too, and I've heard this before, and sometimes we as leaders, I'll say this from our pastor's stance, we have to be so careful what we do and what we say to people who are in Christ and who are striving to get successful, I would say, in that manner. And we have to be so careful that we refer people back to Jesus Christ. I was taught and trained in ministers to always lead people back to Christ, because as a leader, especially babes, they're going to watch you. They're going to be looking at you. And some people, I'm telling you, as babes, they can easily be manipulated if they're not under a good leader. And and we as leaders have to be so careful not to manipulate and let people think that their success is tied to us. Because at the end of the day, I'm not anything. I want everyone to see the God in me. And you know, Wendy is nothing and never will be. I just, you know, I live and do what God tells me to. And I always tell people, you pay your tithe and your offering so that God will bless you. And that it's not anything that's to manipulate someone. And we have to be so careful as leaders that we don't, you know, sway people to think, well, if you're not tied to me, then, you know, they feel like their success is tied to them. And it's not. God said that he will have no other God before him. And I'm telling you, whenever I'm starting to preach now. Back in the Old Testament, whenever the two brothers, they were a part of the priesthood, and they were touching the actual tabernacle, because you remember now, the tabernacle was physically on the earth. So at that time, they was just touching it, and the Lord, and they fell, they struck dead, right? I mean, in the very presence, because they was outside of the will of God, and they did totally what the Lord didn't tell them to do. This in Leviticus. But to make a long story short, what I'm saying to you is that we have to be so careful. Just because you're a leader or whatever, don't feel like, you know that people's success is tied to you. Oh, no. Whatever they do, lead people back to God. Don't put yourself in it. Don't mix yourself in that formula, because at the end of the day, you know, we can't put nobody in heaven and we can't put nobody in hell. But at the same time, our success is tied to God and theirs as well, you know. And that's, I just believe as a leader that we have to be so careful not to manipulate people or have the people thinking that, you know, if I don't do this or whatever, you know, if I don't be under this, you know, you definitely need a covering. But as far as success being tied to that person, no, ma'am, no, sir. So God, he will bless you. He has no respect of person, and we definitely don't want to stand in God's way. And I just wanted to say that in reference to being a success in Jesus Christ.
Amen. I agree with that, too, because I remember when I first did come over to the gospel side, and I ended up working with so many apostles and bishops, I don't even know how it was God. But one of the bishops that I was working with, he was very manipulating. I mean, like, it felt like when they called, I had to jump. Like, I had to hurry up and do this and do that for them. You know, it was like they were pulling my ropes, and on the inside, I was like, is this how gospel's supposed to be? That's how I was on the inside, and seemed like the more I did, the more they were using my prayers against me. They were, like, really just tearing me down. They were beating me up emotionally. And by the time I finally spoke up, I was like, you know what? I don't care nothing about this job. This doesn't feel right. I don't think God would have me
because they kept reminding me that my success was tied to them. But they didn't know I had already came out of a successful career in music. I just wasn't in gospel. I was in hip-hop. But I was already successful in that area. So it didn't feel right. But I thought once I switched over that I would meet better people. But I'm telling you, no matter where you go, you got to keep God first. And even if you do got circumstances and you need prayers and stuff, you even have to be careful in that area who you got praying over your success, because some people are just praying for you to be beneath them.
Right.
And that's the thing. They're praying for you to be beneath them. They're praying for you not to come up. And if you did not agree with them, they would speak all kinds of stuff into your life to keep you down. So just know that if you are trying to look for success, put God first, and you will get it. There ain't no circumstance out here that God will not give you peace over. He did it for me, and he would do it for y'all.
Amen. Amen. You do have to be very careful who table you're at.
Amen. Amen.
You know, leaders, whomever, mothers, if it don't feel right, then it ain't right. And
that's right.
You do need to, you know, speak up or leave, go somewhere else. I know like my church, my old church, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, we were going through so many pastors for whatever reason. I was a little younger then. But they had kept hiring pastors. I mean, the church could grow, then the church would shrink, then build back the choir. The choir members would leave. We had 4, 2, 3 members. And then, you know, come back and forth, you know, because of the pastors were leaving and coming. We kept, you know, hiring new ones. They kept hiring new ones. But anyway, this last one stayed, Reverend Redwell. And, I mean, he really preached the gospel. And the church grew again, okay?
Right.
There was one instance, something did happen. Whereas, you know, he wanted me to be like the choir director. I really wasn't ready for that, you know, even though I love to sing, you know, but he really wanted me to be the choir director. And his thing was, you know, you have to come to Bible class. You have to be here. You have to do this. You got to do that. You cannot be singing. You don't know what you're singing about, you know, and I understood that, but I didn't ask to be the choir director. You appointed me there, and I was not ready. So the thing is, that's what we have to. We do have to be, you know, understand. Hey, if somebody's trying to put something on you, you're not ready for that. You know, even you know, if you know, they say, oh, this is a calling for your life. No, if it don't feel right, you're not ready for that. You're not ready. You need more work. You need more grooming. You need more. You know. You need more word in you before you can.
Amen.
Do all of that, you know.
Right.
So. I just go on to say that because of what I heard, like, Jamie's experience. And the thing is, like we say, we cannot let people try to manipulate you for any reason. I don't know what, you know, try to make you do something that, you know, they think you should do, but God didn't tell you to do that. So if it's
Amen.
Not for you to do that, you don't need to be doing that, you know, because you
Amen.
Won't be successful in that area. That's why I wanted to bring that up. You know, where I'm supposed to be, in the choir taking instructions from the leader. And that's where
right.
I'm supposed to be.
Amen.
Right.
So,
and that is, you know,
place.
People will push you prematurely into a season that God ain't ordained you to be in. And
that's
you're out there wondering why you're steady wandering around. It's because you're not in the right place. You're not in the right position. And you jumped in it because somebody told you to. See, that's what happened to me with that bishop. I was in a position that spiritually I was not matured for. And I didn't mature through that. And instead, it caused anger and bitterness and resentment in me. And I had to end up going back to God for all that because I was in the wrong season at the wrong time. And God's timing is everything. When it's your time, baby, you're going to shine. Regardless, if you got 1 cent in your pocket, or $1 million in your pocket. God will exalt their name. So If God hasn't told you or laid in your heart to go and do something, then don't go against him. Don't go against him. Because at the end of the day, like, I forgot who said it, but people do not have a heaven and a hell to put you in. And because we all do fall short, that same person that may be mentoring you, they may fall short and leave you hanging in that season. What are you going to do?
That's right.
If you're not spiritually mature to be in that season, what are you going to do now?
You're going to be lost.
That's right. You're going to be lost. Exactly. And I'm so glad y'all said that about, you know, making sure. Because I believe a true leader, whenever they see something in you, it's something that God has already showed you.
Amen.
It's nothing that's going to throw you off to where you may be afraid. You may be fearful. I mean, because we all, you know, get kind of, you know, fearful or whatever whenever there's a little challenge and you go into another level. You got to go to, but you know, at the end of the day, you know that, oh, gosh, I hear you, Lord, you know, okay, this is right. But when something is totally off base, it's really okay to say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know about that right there. I don't really know about that. And case in point, the reason why I say that is because we had a little thing like that. Our bishop had saw this in a lady, and he saw it, and she hadn't seen it. But he's a true prophet, and he's a true prophet of God. She said, let me go before the Lord, and she prayed about that thing. She would not take that position. She prayed about, and he said, okay, I'm not going to, you know, pressure you into thing or whatever. He said, but this, you know, this is what I see, you know. And he said, and left it alone. Didn't pressure, didn't bother, it was probably maybe, my God, probably 6 months to a year later. She came back, and she said, the Lord showed it to me. But that's how a true leader should work. He might say something based on some prematurely. Or whatever, but that goes with, you know, knowing when to say something or whatever. But it should not be something that's so far off base to where you have no inclination of idea of what this is, and you're in a relationship with God. Yeah. Whatever your leader tell you, that's a part of being successful too. That you are in the timing of God. That you're doing exactly what He says. I mean, because I'm gonna tell you, and I was in this conference. A couple of weeks ago, about how can the enemy pick up leaders at times? Yes, we are human. People don't understand. Sometimes we might miss the mark. And I'm speaking from a leader's stance. Yes, you can. We are all human and prone to anything. I mean, because as long as we're in this physical, natural body, we're susceptible to anything, you know. And as a leader, I teach my lay people this all the time. If you're looking for the perfect person, child, you better open that door and go down the street to somewhere else because you're at the wrong house.
Amen.
I tell them that all the time, you know, because I'm not perfect. There's some leaders that'll say, you know, and and I was caught under somebody. I felt like, you know, oh, my God, they could do no wrong because that's the insinuation that they gave me. But I tell my people right quick, you at the wrong place if you think that I'm perfect. Oh, no, No, I'm susceptible to make a mistake just like you are, you know. I have different requirements, but at the end of the day, we are all striving to live and be like Jesus.
Amen. He's the only one that's perfect. Amen to that. None of us is perfect.
And you have to be careful that people do not manipulate you by saying, you know, you're not going to get it and get successful unless you get out your comfort zone. See, there's a big thing with trying to force yourself to fit and actually getting out of your comfort zone through faith. See, we have to go back and understand God is a God of free will. If you're forcing yourself to fit in an area, that is not stepping out of your comfort zone on faith. That is your flesh trying to fit in with the crack.
That's right. That's true.
And
you said something so important, Jamie. God is a God of free will. The Holy Spirit will not even lead and guide you unless you want Him to. That's what people got to understand. Yes, Lord. And that's all a part of success.
Yes, it is.
Thank
Amen.
Well, I don't know how much time we got. No, we probably have talked over our time. This has been so good. We could go on and on and on. But I don't know. I'm going to hush my mouth. I'm going to do like the preachers would say. I could say something else, but I'm going to hush my mouth. I'm going to stop.
I'm done.
Yes, indeed. Well, I know. Stephanie, still here? I think she may have stepped away, lady. Well, do you have anything else to say, Jamie, Coco?
No, I don't have anything else to say. I am good.
I am too. I'm good. This has been so awesome. Awesome. I truly enjoyed it. As always, coming together with you ladies and just forming a bond and learning and just breaking the bread and just having what I call real talk, you know. And that's what I like, is that we are able to say things to help each other and then to help the listeners that are listening, you know, to let us see, you know, let us know, hey, look, what we talked about earlier, should dress code be a part of the church? You know, like we said, there's no right or wrong answer. Just let the Holy Spirit lead and guide you at the end of the day. Don't be, you know, ruffled by what people say to you. Don't get offended. Don't leave the church, please, because of what somebody said or done, you know, to you. Just ask God to be your guide and to lead you. And the true success in Jesus Christ basically is predicated upon your relationship with him, how you love him, how you treat others, exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit. I'm trying to go through everything that we, you know, in a nutshell, what we went through on tonight. And just basically just having that will to want to know Christ more. It's not tied to finances or money. Money just happened to be the benefit of it. Just like the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Amen. So what we want to do on tonight is just encourage you to stay with the Lord and just know that if you stay with him and you seek him first, he'll take care of you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll dress you. He'll do everything. And
amen.
You will have true happiness, you know, that the world cannot take away. And things around you, whether you lose your home, your, you know, physical things, that will not take away your joy and the peace and the love and the happiness which comes from God. So we want to pray and close out and just know that we love you from the bottom of our heart, and we thank you so much for tuning in on tonight. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for everyone that's on this call tonight, Father. Thank you for everyone that is listening under the sound of my voice, Father. God bless us, each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, rise up even the more in each and every lady that's on this call, and each and every person around the world that's listening to this gospel talk show. Father, let the Holy Spirit rise up the more. Let us be bold soldiers for you, Father. Let us exemplify you in a way that no man can take away from us, Father. Let your love be spread it abroad in our hearts, Father. Give us peace. Give us more knowledge, more wisdom, and more understanding, Father, of you, Father. For we know that as we do that, that's where our success lies. And we just thank you for it, God. And we bless your name, and we just praise you, and we give you all the glory for everything that has been done. We pray that it was pleasing in your sight. We ask that you cover each and every one on this call. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies, it has been fun, and we certainly love you, and we look forward to talking to you guys next week.
Amen, and everyone have a blessed week.
Awesome. Same to you. Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye, Jamie. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.